When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening. I don't know where you are in the world, but welcome to Indeed. It's Wednesday. I'm Mike. We're here to talk some independent wrestling, and I can't do that without my amazing co-host, as always, every week, Righteous Reg. How are you doing?
What's up, Mike? It's your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. It's Indeed. Very excited. It's Wednesday. It's Juneteenth. Shout out to all my black people out there. It's a good time. That's it.
Absolutely, yeah. Go buy Reg's record. Go buy Reg's record.
You know? They'll do that. Yeah, righteousreg.bandcamp.com. I like that.
Hell little yeah. Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Bandcamp. Giving artists actual money for their work.
So I want my money forever. Now. I don't want to wait for payout and Apple and Spotify. You know how they be robbing people over there.
Absolutely. Plus absolutely.
The artists.
But yeah, as you can see, we're not alone today. I think I can't remember. Were we alone the last time we did an episode? I think maybe, I don't remember.
It was
a couple weeks ago and I don't remember like 2 days ago. So, but we're not alone. We've got a guest with us. And, if you noticed on the opening credits, we saw a whole bunch of wrestling on there, from one particular promotion and, it's got a kind of like a Cerberus of independent professional wrestling media folk and personality running it.
Cerberus, hell of a word.
Yeah,
I gotta go to the dictionary on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, wow. It's a hydra. It's a three-headed dog.
Gotcha.
Greek mythology, y'all. I think it's Greek. I hope it's Greek.
I think I saw that in God of War.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, we've got one of the co-founders of Northern Crown with us, Jeff, Gigi, you know, whatever you want to call him.
We had a quick little chat as we were waiting in the backstage room for this. And I was like, man, I never see my name as Jeff anymore. It's so weird. He's like, do you want me to change it real quick? No. I'm Jeff today. Say my name.
There we go. Either way, yeah, like, you know, one of the co-founders of Northern Crown Wrestling here, which I say co-founders because, yeah, there's it's not really one person's vision that's led to this, you know, wrestling promotion that we're here to talk about today. It's kind of a collective effort.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, it started off with, honestly, just like a thought of having a belt made. I made myself my own shooting the indies belt, which isn't really it just has one of my like third logos on it, so it's kind of hard to tell that it's my belt, but my idea was to maybe run a one-off show and have that belt put out there and then never run another show again. And it just be out in the Canadian on Ontario Indies and let it be defended all over the place. And that never happened. I was super busy helping out run Destiny when Iceman was away during some of the pandemic and whatnot. And a good friend of mine told me, stop being an idiot, do it for yourself. You've run shows, clearly you can run your own promotion. And when I designed this belt, I've always been close friends with Saber, and he was kind of helping me design the idea and the name of it. And he was going to help me with it. Not help me with it. It's kind of like our thing together. And you know, we were both kind of working for Destiny at the time. Iceman sold it, and it was a perfect time for us to just kind of like get the ball going and light fire under our butts. And that just organically happened. We were like, we got this belt, let's start a promotion. Funny enough, the belt's never seen the light of day. And then as we were like kind of talking about it here and there with a couple people on the Ontario Indies and kind of just like pitching some ideas, we had a gentleman by the name of Loden, who I'd shot ringside with tons of times, done a bunch of projects with him. The guy is just insanely brilliant when it comes to branding and graphic design and all things you see before the show dates. And he was like, guys, like me and him, we kind of enjoy the same wrestling. And he's like, let me in. And we were like, 100%. Like, the whole idea is we want to do this with our friends and have a good time. And the number one priority is really, really good wrestling. And Loden definitely, like, he set the bar of what we look like. And if you don't look good, no one's going to look at you, right?
Very true. In
the indie scene and wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a big part of it for us right from the beginning was, you know, we didn't have anybody booked. We didn't have anything kind of set up, but Loden just hit the ground running. Me and him went to Toronto one day, filmed some stuff. He took all of that and just packaged us. And the second we came out on the scene, everyone was just like, this looks insane. Like, this looks nuts. This looks top notch. And it made us have to run a really, really good show, or else we were going to look like idiots. Right. I built a pretty good brand with shooting the indies, shooting ringside, and I wasn't going to kind of sully that. Like I said, like, if we're doing this, you know, shooting the indies, it pays the bills in my house. So we got to make sure we protect all of our brands, you know, Saber being a wrestler, you know, he's got to protect his brand. Loden has to protect his stuff. He's a musician, a phenomenal musician. And we got to make sure that we protect ourselves. So we had to do what we had to do. And I think we did good on the first show. We ran kind of head to head with Impact in town. And that was a learning experience, but we still had a killer draw. We had great people on our card. And honestly, like, pound for pound, I think we have we put on some of the best matches in Ontario over the last year and a half. I'm just going to talk. You guys need to cut me off.
No,
if you know, feel free to talk. That's what you're here for.
Did I just blow through every single question you had for the next half hour? You're like, Oh God, no.
Cause like you touched on it. So the three headed beast that runs Northern Crown, behind the scenes is yourself, Shane Saber, who we talk about him plenty on here. We cover Alpha One, various other Ontario indies all the time. So, you know, Shane Saber has been someone whose name comes up quite a bit. And Loden is, interestingly enough, someone like who I'm, as a resident of my city and a music fan familiar with anyway. It's funny to me that, like, I've started going to like indie wrestling shows and I'm like, oh wait, Loden's like filming ringside or ringside and stuff. And it's like for so much music stuff that I've, that I've come to associate him with, obviously if you're familiar with the amazing Canadian, I just call them a rock band. I don't want to call the Rarity a pop punk band. Cause they're not a pop punk band. Not, yeah. They're definitely like, just a hard rock band. They're good as shit though.
They're insane. It's not past 10 minutes. You can't say that yet. We're 9 minutes in.
Oh, I ruined it. See, I told
Come on.
I said butt like a loser instead of ass, and then you just dropped it within 9 minutes.
Look, I told you I'd be the one.
You did. You did. Hey, the wheels are like, off, guys. It's go time. We can say whatever
like,
we want.
Like 4 minutes on Grapsody on Saturday, and I was like, there it is. Like 4 minutes, 4 minutes in and a 3-hour show. I'm like, there you go.
But it's true, man. Like Loden's, his band is insane, and like he's on tour with like Silverstein right now, doing all of their like media stuff. And outside of that, like a lot of people don't know, when you hear music hit in Ontario indie, and these wrestlers are coming down to the ring, there's a good chance that Loden wrote that music, produced it, like made everything from top to bottom. And like the majority of the time, he does it in like 10 minutes. The guy's just insane with like how talented he is. I don't think he really gets how talented he is and how important he is to like all of Ontario indie wrestling, not just Northern Crown, but like, yeah. And then like Sabre, on the other hand, is just like, you know, he's just the guy that doesn't stop. He always is just like, his brain is Northern Crown 24/7. Like, doesn't matter what time of day it is. He hits me up. Hey, can we do this? Hey, should we do that? Hey, I'm going to do this. Hey, let's do that. And he definitely keeps that ball rolling. I got, you know, a 4-year-old kid and another one on the way in a month. So things can get a little bit busy on my end. And Sabre's that guy that's always just like in the trenches, nonstop, going to stores, looking for sponsors, talking to talent. Like he doesn't stop. Like we get like, you know, 10 different fantasy booking cards before we even pick a date for what the next show is going to be. And it's just him like constantly just like keeping himself so involved in the concept, which is awesome. Like we need that, right? I don't even know what I do for the company, to be honest with you.
That was going to be one of my questions.
You got the belt.
You talked about transitioning from Destiny into this. How did shooting the wrestling prepare you for kind of being involved in the other side of the wrestling product?
I think like part of it is like, so I've talked about it on a couple podcasts before, but anyone that hasn't seen, like, I've been kind of in and out of the indie scene for a long time, since like 2006, 2007, 2008. Wow. Started out as a fan, was helping out with other promotions. I did some managing on the scene at one point that some people are just starting to find out about. And then I kind of disappeared, and then I started doing photography, and I already had some connections, people who knew who I was. So I was kind of allowed, you know, behind that curtain a little quicker than some people are. And I got to see a lot. And then I started driving everywhere with Josh Alexander. He became one of my like closest friends.
That'll help.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you learn a lot. You can learn a lot from anybody you sit in a car with, but like, you know, with Josh alone, like it's not even sometimes the wrestling stuff. It's just life lessons that he can teach you. Without, you know, knowing that you're getting a walking weapon life lesson. That should be like, if he ever has like a book down the road, New York Times bestseller.
Best I got was walking weapon ass sweat. So,
but yeah, so like I was able to learn a lot from him. I was able to learn a lot just being backstage, being ringside for, you know, 3 to 4 shows a weekend for 5 years straight. You see so much, you learn so much. And then when I started working with Iceman, with Destiny, me and him became friends, and it was just like, you know, Jeff, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you help me with this? And then it just turned into more of like he called it like a vice president role. And I was just kind of doing stuff that a photographer would never do. But I learned a lot from Iceman.
It's wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I learned a lot from him. And it just kind of like it was like a trip and fall effect.
Yeah.
And it was Josh that was basically just like, you know, go get out there, do it yourself. He's like, you know, I can help out where I can help out. He's got a busy schedule. He, you know, gives us some pointers on cards here and there. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's got like his intentions are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was up editing two shows last night until like 3 a.m, guys, and that's why I'm still drinking coffee at this point. But yeah, like, you know, Josh basically just lit a fire in their ass saying like, you guys know what you're doing, let's go do it. And then that's show one was basically it. Like, you know, we able to get some connections through Josh. That's, he kind of helped us out with booking Rocky Romero, which, you know, first show ever, Rocky Romero. That's, I don't like to pat myself on the back very often, but like, man, that's huge. Like, there's not a lot of companies that are going to like throw down on a weekend where Impact's here, right? Like, you know, who knows how many tickets we're going to sell? Who knows about us? Rocky was great. He came in, killed it. We asked him like, how many like indie matches do you do a year? He's like, maybe like 10, 11, 12. I'm like, why did you pick us? He's like, Josh said that you guys were legit. I'm like, wow. Shit, man. So like, you know, that's what I'm saying. We're like, Josh really, really helps out. Yeah. So like one of our biggest things was making sure that Northern Crown didn't look like every other Ontario indie show. And there's nothing wrong with the Ontario indie shows. There's some great promotions that we love to work with. We've had some of them, the belts defended on our show. We've worked with, you know, C4. We were supposed to have the Alpha One belt on our show. And unfortunately, Rohit couldn't get across the border. You know, we've had the option of having Barry on our show, which didn't work out. PWO, pretty much their whole team shows up and supports us in every way possible, which is crazy. You know, Smash, Alan, those guys show up and they help out. We have this really like weird, like team. Like, it doesn't even feel like sometimes that it's us. It literally feels like the Ontario indie world is just kind of like, everyone's kind of working together just to put on good matches. Like, there's a reason why we don't run awesome. A lot. Our main priority is the best matches we can put on. So if we can't get a show together in time to put on top quality matches, I don't want to run it. I, you know, not in this to make money. Everyone knows there's not much money running wrestling promotions in Ontario. I'm not in it for clout, obviously. Like, I don't, I do pretty good off the clout on my shooting the indies, guys. You know, fucking stupidest thing I've ever said. Ask another question. I'm done with this. Ask another question.
It's on record now. It's on record now.
It does, like you were saying about, you know, all the people that kind of come around to PW or to Northern Crown. You know, you mentioned like PW Oker and stuff.
Yeah.
I think, you know, again, like the three of you who are running it, it kind of like lends, you know, who you all are and your involvement with all aspects of the Ontario wrestling scene, really. Yeah, like, yeah. It, you know, like I've seen you shooting everywhere, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen Sabre wrestle pretty much, you know, everywhere. Loden's done like everyone's music. He does so much photography, video packages. You know, he's a very talented like video editor and producer as well. So like, I know he does you know, like promo video work for people and stuff too. And you know, so I think it you know, all of that good, you know, all of that goodwill and help and, you know, support that you put out, it's like, now that, you know, Northern Crown exists and it's like you guys are trying to get this thing, you know, kind of going and launching it off the ground, everyone's like, oh, we want to help you guys because you guys do so much to like, you know, elevate our stuff in different ways that like only, you know, it only seems like, you know, it only seems natural to want to like give that love back, you know, to Northern Crown. And it's something that really draws me into it, even as a fan, is like, oh, I see who's running it and I know what you guys all do around the scene here. And it's like, I know this is a promotion where the people involved in it are like, you know, they have good intentions. They're not just, you know, like, this is their only thing that they care about and they don't care about anything else that happens around wrestling around here. Like, it's something that, it's like a part of the community in that way.
I think like that's part of it. Like when people started seeing it come out, like I brought the belt out to a couple shows before the thought even came up, and a lot of the workers and the talent, like everyone backstage and stuff, were like seeing the belt. They're like, "What's your plan? This is a cool belt. This looks awesome. Like, we can't wait to see what you're gonna do." And I think like when Loden started producing all those packages and putting out all that content, people really saw this as something different. Like, it's not just a get, like, it's hard to do this without trying to like say, like, without trying to put down anyone else. Like, everyone else is doing such great things in their own way. Like, PWO, they kill it, man. They're like putting on some great matches. The last main event at their last show was insane. You know, everyone's doing really, really cool stuff in their own way, but a lot of it kind of like blends together over time in Ontario. And I don't think Ontario quite has a stigma ish, but like, you can kind of go to one show and see a lot of the same wrestlers on all the shows. And again, don't get me wrong, our talent is insane here. They're so good, but at some point you want to see something different. So I think when we started doing something different, everyone started grabbing onto it, and they were like, we want to help out. How can we help out? We want to be involved. Rocky Romero versus Fuerza, like, that's a dream match in its own. Tarik and Tankman is insane. Like, we're not going to see that really anywhere else. And then like show two with like Fuerza and Josh, like, yeah, that was something that we could have seen over the last 5, 6, 7 years. I think we booked that at Destiny right off of Josh winning the Impact title. We had that match, but it was a different time, you know, like, you know, Fuerza was phenomenal then. Fuerza is like a different kind of phenomenal now. So like, that match alone just felt different than it could have ever felt over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. And then like bringing in guys like Cole Radrick and, you know, Warhorse as a surprise, Effie as a surprise. That's something we really, you know, we want to make sure that we like have this like concept of, you can't miss our show because you don't know who's going to pop up. Don't think we're going to have anyone pop up on this show three. So don't be like, oh, who do you got? It's literally nobody unless something comes up. But that's always how it's happened. It's always been like, if something kind of falls into place and it works, we'll grab onto it.
You know, there's GCW in Toronto on Friday that weekend. You never know who might hang around for a weekend.
I'm not even gonna like throw a fishing line. I'm not playing that game because IWS is running with GCW on the same day as us. So like, we contacted a bunch of wrestlers as well.
Yeah, my whole weekend got like the scheduling of that weekend for me, because I mixed the days up, and I thought it was like, I thought it was 3 days in a row were the different shows. And I was like, yes, this is the greatest weekend of all time. And then I found out that like, you guys and IWS are the same day. And I'm like, well,
We caught wind that IWS was going to be running kind of early. And we hit up some wrestlers before they even knew if they were going to be working where. So we filmed packages with like, man, our show could have been like, our show's going to be insane. Don't get me wrong. But like, our show was going to be like nuts with a couple of the guys that we had. But again, like, it's all working relationships. Everyone's pumped to
I see who's on that poster still, and it's like, you got Tarik on there, you got Alessandro Del Bruno, who like they still don't have matches announced, you know, for them. Jody Threat's on there without a match announced. There's a lot of people still that it's like, and the last two shows have proven like there's some good damn wrestling happening in Northern Crown. Like, I know Calvin Tankman's coming back up for this show, which
that happened in C4 maybe a year ago, I think, it might have happened the weekend we brought in Tankman for show one. And it was we did like kind of a working deal with C4 where like we brought in a carload and we shared everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think Fuerza and Tankman worked each other that night, but again, like in a year,
their progression over the year is
two different wrestlers in a year.
Yeah. We got like, I don't know how it happened, but once we announced that match, Deadlock hit us up and they want the belt on the show. So there's a good chance that might be a Deadlock title match. If everything works out. I don't know if Saber's probably at the soccer game watching this right now. Like, shut up, you idiot. That was content. That was content we could have posted. It's all out the window, you idiot.
It can still happen. It can still happen.
So, hey, Saber, still probably like, can you just put the phone away? We're on a date, dude.
Yeah, watch some soccer, man. Come on, footy.
Yeah.
Is it a Toronto FC game?
I think that's where he's at tonight.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's the show's lining up to be pretty killer. We're pretty excited about it. It's a hard weekend to run again with GCW in town, then GCW going to Montreal, and then SmackDown and Money in the Bank and NXT. We're starting our show early enough so that anybody that has tickets to NXT can do both. Dustin, our commentator, has tickets for NXT, so he's either going to only commentate half the show, or we have to get the show done so he can get to his NXT in time.
It's perfect.
It's gonna be fine, right? That's nothing perfect. Can go wrong. Everything it's indie wrestling.
Look, yeah. This is just a microscopic taste of what what all the US indies deal with over like a money totally. Over like a WrestleMania week or some shit like
yeah.
that.
Which, yeah, man.
WrestleMania weekend, there's like four shows running at the same time. Good shows too.
Yeah. I went down for 2019. My head was spinning with how many shows I could go to at any given time. It was crazy. Yeah, like, That's actually how me and Saber became really close friends, was being at WrestleMania 2019.
I don't run wrestling shows, so like bring a WrestleMania to Toronto. Stick that chaos somewhere that I can go to it.
I don't want it.
Exactly. I do, but like my
you're just skin, on the outside. It's
my
different.
Skin, my skin yeah. in the game ends at a ticket purchase.
No. Because I know we would have to run a show, and I know I would probably be shooting six other shows, and I don't want that.
Oh yeah,
I'm supposed to be going to Money in the Bank. I got a ticket for it. And it's just going to be hoping to get to GCW, and it's just going to be an insane couple days of absolutely insane
wrestling. Excited for y'all.
My weekend that weekend is I'm going to go to the GCW show on the Friday. Saturday with Love Wrestling, their crew is coming out to Ontario and doing a pub crawl with Jody Threat all day on Saturday.
Oof.
The day of Money in the Bank. So like before Money in the Bank, they're doing a pub crawl. We're going to Sneaky D's. We're going to Tiki Bar, going to a couple other places. And then it's going to stop at the Rec Room. And you can either like hang out and watch Money in the Bank at the Rec Room, or be like right around the corner from the arena. You're actually going.
Yeah.
So I'm filming the pub crawl because I'm sober. I don't drink. I'm just a sober cameraman.
That's gonna be wild. I just got a text message from the Walking Weapon himself saying, "Man, you sure can ramble, bro."
Fantastic.
We love it. That's what we want here on our podcast. We like people to talk and not one word after, so this is great.
He'll tell you, we used to drive to like Pittsburgh or whatever. It would be like an hour of like really good conversation, and like he really really liked me, and then like I called it like peaks and valleys. We would that hour would end and he would just be like and then after an hour of that, he'd be like, "Oh, I like you again.
I need you to maybe take a nap for just a couple
of hours. For real. Turn the music up a little bit louder, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to just pull up a super chat real quick because we got one here from Van Twinblade. Mike, Jeff, you guys are from Canada Land. Thoughts on Billy Talent and thoughts on Pup? I don't know. They're all right, I guess. it's not like my go-to, but like they seem to be pretty successful, so yeah, they're probably good.
I think when I was in like high school or something, Billy Talent was really big, and I enjoyed some of their songs. It wasn't my style of music. I was way into like West Coast hip-hop and Jack Johnson back then.
Jack Johnson.
Like the two most random things in the world. But and Pup I never got into. I never got into Pup. Yeah.
West Coast hip hop and the Curious George soundtrack.
Yeah, literally. I got my acoustic guitar right there, and
just like flip flops on the beach music, man. I'm into it.
So dumb.
Flip flops on the beach. You know that, like you have to kind of only like just you have to like just listen to it and like imagine the vibe up here, because we don't really get
yeah, it's not really Canada doesn't really translate.
No, it's today though.
We get 2 months of the year where it's just like scorching hot and humid as fuck.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the year it's just like it's kind of shitty, wear pants.
But even if I'm on a beach, I'm still wearing 5'11" Levi's and Chuck Taylors. I don't venture far from that outfit.
Yeah, look, I'm not a big shorts guy either. So
yeah.
I'm wearing some right now and I feel like an asshole.
I would rather cook in pants if I'm out in public than wear shorts, because I'm just like I don't like sitting down
anywhere in public and like having the back of my calves touch like chairs that other people's bodies touch. And that's, it's just a weird thing.
I also have like the stupidest tattoos on my leg, which like,
that's where you're supposed to put them though.
I have a Joe Dirt tattoo on my leg.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you hardcore kids are a little bit different. You got to like factor them into like, you guys are like a subcategory of like pants, like shorts and pants. I don't know, but some hardcore kids really like shorts though.
Yeah. I can't pull it off, man. I don't got the legs for it. Little chicken legs.
If I was like, yeah, if I was more on the squat rack, I would absolutely be one of those short, I would be one of those like short shorts people for sure.
If I was on the squat rack,
if I was actually like exercising like that, I would totally be wearing.
It's about your bod. I see. All right, no, I respect.
Oh, respect. It's weird though, because like, yeah, I'd probably jump from like, you know, sweatpants up to the shortest shorts you go if I had the legs for it. Like, I wouldn't even bother stopping at the knee. I'd be like,
If you put a squat rack beside nothing and said point to the squat rack, I probably wouldn't be able to figure out which one was the squat rack. I am not a gym guy at all, as you could tell.
To be fair, it just looks like a box of like it looks like a just a someone like an like a fucking sculpted like metal square, basically. It's just it looks like a weird attempt at a cube. I love that episode. I love that. LeGrill, what the hell is that? It's the best Simpsons quote of all time. Is Homer trying to build a barbecue and reading French instructions?
Does he like run at it with the umbrella? So good.
I just saw it happen in my head. Oh fuck, my camera unfocused. Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Just
boom. Hey. There we go.
Yeah.
It never takes that long. That was crazy. All right. Let's circle back to Northern Crown, though, because you were saying like, OK, and again, we're not disparaging other promotions here in Ontario, but nope, it's something you mentioned earlier that did resonate with me because it's something I talk about on here quite often where it's like. There's not a ton of variety necessarily between the booking of, of a lot of shows around here. You know, you can see the same match, generally like two or three times a year. You see, you know, roughly 70% of the same people on like a lot of shows. It just happens to be like that because of geography. We have one stretch of highway to work with and then nothing. That's basically where we can draw from out here. But the decision I've noticed, like, you know, you mentioned, seeing like Cole Radrick on the last show, Effie popping up as a surprise. Calvin Tankman's someone we, you know, quite frankly, I'm very familiar with watching him all over the, the internet on streams of US shows, but I hardly see him here. So like,
It makes no sense. Like the guys, the first time I saw him, I was just like, I need to start a wrestling promotion and book that guy. It's insane. I think he got brought into one Hamilton show since then. I don't understand why he's not used.
The place. The place we don't talk about anymore.
He's so good, and him and Tarek tore it up. Watching that match was just like. It's good wrestling, man. That's the whole concept, is put on good wrestling, bring in talent so that like our Ontario workers get something different for once. You know, in the States, you see these people get to work everybody, man. Like everybody, like the pool's so big and you can just have so many different options. Here, there are promotions that bring in great guys and that's awesome, but sometimes it's always the same couple people that get those guys, and our family is never going to, you know, it's not that they're never going to get better, but like you definitely put up a little bit of a wall, not being able to work different talent. And that's just the goal. The goal is great matches, different talent. Let's see what we can do. And yeah, like, you know, I think, I don't know if there's anybody we haven't announced on the show yet. I'm pretty sure Cole Roderick is booked again. He's going to be staying in town, so he doesn't have any footage with his kitty cat for us to put together a package for. Did you ask me a question?
I don't know. We were just kind of talking about the booking early here.
Calvin Tankman, I think, was the thing.
I think we kind of got sidetracked to Calvin Tankman. But yeah, it's the I'm just really interested in hearing like the philosophy behind actually bringing in, you know, new people. Extending the arm down to the U.S. talent pool and actually, you know, bringing some people in from down there. Interesting question from Love Wrestling out of Edmonton. Jeff, anyone you have eyes on in Western Canada?
I know Sabres brought up a good couple names from out that way. You know, we used Judas and he was insane. There's a couple guys that bring themselves in that we've tried to find spots for them if we can have spots. The hard part is like, we've run two shows so far over the span of a year and a half. We have our third show coming up. And we've put on a total of 13 matches, I think, 6 and 7. That's not a lot of space. No. So we're trying to do the best we can to get the best talent we can on shows as much as we can. I know Sabres brought up Tyler Colton a couple times and whatnot from people out in that area. We've looked at guys from the East Coast as well, like Kobe and stuff. And the hard part is just, you know, are they in town when we're running and do we have space for them? It's expensive to do any type of flights, you know, like when we're trying to book, especially guys from the States, we want to make sure that we can kind of pool guys together to bring them in. So we're like, is there someone coming from there? Someone coming from there? And it just kind of makes things a little bit easier. When you're spending, and flights are insane right now. If you're spending $600-$700 to bring in somebody from anywhere, that's crazy. We've run two shows. We're not selling 600 tickets, 700 tickets. We've got a nice intimate venue at Blood Brothers and it holds probably, we could put 250 in there. I think at the last show we had around 200 ish. So the budget needs to be spent where it's smart. West Coast is killing it as well, man. They've got like Seattle so close to them with Defy. And I know some of those guys get to move around all around there. So yeah, that's a Saber question. I
don't know. That's a Saber question. All right. Then this is probably a Saber remark too. But if you ever want to collab with some Western Canadian talent, they're DMs. That's a Shane Saber DM there for you, Spencer. Yeah.
And then Saber will just message me and say, hey, what do you think of this? And I'll be like, yes or no. And he's like, you're not the yes or no guy. That's not your role. This is our promotion. No, but like they're doing great things out on the West Coast for sure. And you know, one of our main things about Northern Crown was like collaboration, making sure that like we can highlight people in every way possible, bringing like the C4 belt on our show. We wanted to have the Barry belt on our show, the Superkick, PWO, and then with Deadlock, stuff like that. You know, Warhorse has a belt on the other side of the border as well. So who knows? I'm not saying anything. Saber's like, stop talking, you idiot.
Yeah. Actually, you know, you mentioned Warhorse and you mentioned him again, but what are your thoughts on this Nihilist character?
So I haven't seen too much of it, to be honest with you. Like, after I'm done editing at 3 a.m, putting on wrestling is sometimes pretty painful. I try to have it on while I'm editing and kill two birds with one stone. It's like, you know, I see a lot of wrestling and to be able to tune in as much. His other character, you know, was insane. Like he took that ball, he ran with it and it worked so well. everything I've seen from this, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's just going to sit back and just half-ass something. He's going to put it all in there, right? And what I've seen so far is it's been awesome, and I'm really excited to see how he's going to do on July 7th at Blood Brothers Brewery for Show 3.
Yep, he do be on the poster for this one.
He is, yeah. We were super pumped, man. You know, like he.
Every time I see him without the face paint and just like with the aviators, I'm like, oh yeah, that's that. Yeah, I'm like, if it takes a second. I'm like, that is yes.
Yeah, you mean like he was a surprise on Show 1, and people went nuts. Like everyone was so hyped for him. We get a lot of like non-Ontario indie wrestling fans, like just people that like to support things. And at the brewery, we get people that are the beer drinkers that are like craft beer enthusiasts, and they're coming out for entertainment. And we heard a lot of positive about Warhorse and his and what he did on the first show. And I'm excited to see what he's gonna do on this one.
Fun fact, actually,
who is he wrestling?
I've been trying to figure out somewhere I can stay in Toronto. I gotta try to couch surf that weekend. And one homie messaged me and was like, I don't know what you have planned for that weekend, but like I live here, you know, I could maybe help you out. And I was like, okay. And then yeah. He was like, what are you doing anyway? And I told him like this and this. And when I sent him the poster for Show 3, he's like, oh, that brewery is like walking distance from my house. I think I'm just going to go to that.
Oh, sick.
So like,
yeah,
but that's the thing about something like that in Toronto, where it's like, you know, that is a, it is a city where there's just a lot of people who will just do stuff on a walk up. Like,
right. Yeah. Toronto was never my number one option. Like I live up in like Caledon, it's north of Mississauga, north of Brampton. Like it's not far, but my goal was to never run out of Toronto. There's some really good promotions out in Toronto, like Demand Lucha and Superkick, and
so
Smash runs out of there. You know, there's a lot of content there. But people like there's a lot of people in Toronto, guys.
There's people there.
A lot of people there. Yeah.
It's really not. Yeah. It's really easy to get to. Like,
you know, if we ran out of Mississauga, you have to drive everywhere. Not a lot of like people want to drive an hour to go to a wrestling show and then have a couple beers and then try to figure out their way home.
Right. Like I don't drive at all. So like for me thinking about like either A, who can I hitch a ride with that like is maybe going out that way, or B, like how do I get there as a GO Transit rider?
Yeah.
Anytime it's in any kind of like if it's in a bigger city, I'm like, this is going to be easier for me to go to 100% of the time.
And Blood Brothers is like right on the subway line as well. Like that is the best option. And we love that place, man. When they hit us up and said, we want you guys to run a wrestling show out of here, we were so pumped. We checked it out. We said, can we get a wrestling ring in here? It's going to be tight. Let's hope and pray. And then we just ran with it and it worked out. It was awesome, man. The aesthetic is sweet. Everybody that works there is phenomenal. The beer is great, you know, great and prices, everything.
Beer notoriously stored at cold temperatures. So for a July weekend show, it's, you know, a brewery is not a bad place to be at either.
He's going to be spicy in there, brother. He's going to be spicy.
Did it get hot? I couldn't make it to show two. So like, did it get toasty in there?
It was February. I think like it wasn't too, too bad. We packed that bitch, man. It was nice and tight in there, and
it's gonna be sweaty in a couple of weeks.
It's gonna be hot, man. She's gonna be real hot. She's gonna be spicy.
I love it.
Perfect. I was gonna say to Saber, you know, I can give away who Warhorse is wrestling, but if you don't want me to, you gotta message me in the next 2 minutes. if you're even watching this.
Oh shit.
2 minutes, it's on.
You're on the clock. What time is it? 6:43. At 6:45. I also have all my notifications off right now, so I wouldn't even see if you messaged me.
He's actually just spamming you right now with no.
Please don't.
Sander's all for me. He's like, let's get these match announcements out there. Like, let's go. Yeah. Let's get it promoting. You know, we need a certain amount of content before the show to keep the ball rolling and making sure that it's not just a couple dead days. And
That's always kind of a tough debate that we've been having too, though, is how much of a wrestling show do you like to see announced before the show? Because I think there's this fine line where, like, knowing the entire card is like, it's cool, but I like kind of some element of like it's nice to sometimes know just who's on the show, but not necessarily who's wrestling everybody.
Yeah, like the mystery wrestling stuff's even cool too. That like Uno is doing out in Montreal, like doesn't really he announced a couple people,
and it's
Right. And that's a great concept for us. Like, again, without trying to like sound super egotistical, I think we book a lot of really top grade talent, and if we show you, you know, 20 people, it doesn't matter what the card is, that show's gonna bang. Like all those guys are gonna go as hard as they possibly can go, and you know that's one thing that's important. Like be better in the match before you, be better in the match after you, steal the show. You know, we run once so far, once a year. It's gonna be twice a year as of July 7th. We don't really have space for storylines. You know, a lot of our brewery customers or fans, they don't understand storylines yet because they don't really watch wrestling. So like they're there, hopefully they'll start to remember the wrestlers and they'll buy merch off them and they'll know who is who. But for the most part, you know, and they're not going to come out back in 6 months and be like, I remember that guy with those trunks and he hit that guy in the back. And like that, I understand this a bit. They just want to see good wrestling. They want to see some, you know, Jax Williams dive over the top rope with two beers in his hand and have absolutely no concept how to open the cans after that. Like, that's what they want to see. We didn't release the footage yet, but Jax dove over the top rope with two cans.
Man, so this is the thing. Like, show two is kind of a mystery to me.
It is.
There's Josh Alexander versus Gabe Fuerza available for free on Northern Friends YouTube channel, in addition to the full show one. Check that out. But yeah, like, so I've seen that match, but then like there's a lot of show two that's just kind of like a mystery.
So full disclosure on that, like our goal was to have it all done. Loden does it all, and Loden has his band. He just went on tour. He's on tour with Silverstein right now. And there's one thing about Northern Crown that is the most important thing, and it's like our lives do not stop for Northern Crown, and we are all here to support each other. That's why three people is, you know, really, really great. And sometimes four people. I have a really good friend of mine, Russell Grigg, that's helping out with stuff that Loden usually does when Loden's here. In no way would we ever be like, Loden, like, you know, this is your job. You need to get this done right now. He's going to get it done when he gets it done, and it's going to be amazing. So, you know, he's got to go do what he's got to do, and we fully support that. And, you know, in a month, I'm going to have a newborn baby, and there's going to be stuff that I can't do. And, you know, Loden will be back, and he will support me, and Saber will be there to support me. And if Saber ever has to go travel for wrestling, we're all here to help each other out. So, you know, I've seen a lot of show two. It's nuts. All the stuff that Loden's done with it already, even like the Fuerza versus Josh stuff, like that video looks insane. The like lower thirds, all that stuff that, you know, just kind of stands out. It looks phenomenal. When the show does fully release, you know, everyone's going to be pumped. Jax Williams was supposed to dive over the top rope with two beers and he wanted to drink them after, but he didn't open them. And he was trying to, and they were shaking so bad. And when he finally popped them, they just exploded. They flew all over the audience and blew up in his face. And we will never, ever let him live that down. Did Saber message me? He never messaged me. It's going to be Tarek versus Warhorse. And we were really, really pumped for that match. That's going to bang.
Tarek versus Warhorse. You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Mm-hmm. We do not have the match graphic ready. It is not going to go up right away. I don't even know if either of them know that's the booking right now. But that's the match that we're looking at. We thought
I'm gonna tweet it after this.
Here's the match.
Your match graphic is just going to be the clip of me. The clip I post.
Yeah. This isn't live though, so you can just cut that out. Don't worry.
Yeah, this isn't live at all.
Not at all. No.
Yeah, so we're excited. We're excited for that.
Nice.
That match. That's gonna obviously bang. Tarek has had absolutely nothing but bad luck so far with Northern Crown matches. He lost to Tankman. He lost to Ricky Shane Page, which was Not supposed to be the match. That was something that had to change last minute. It was supposed to be
Silas Young, right?
Silas Young, that's right. And he had something that had to force him to back out of the show. And, you know, Ricky, good friend of ours, helped us out, brought some great guys in to, as well to jump into the scramble.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Tarek, he's got to prove something, brother. He's got to really step up and earn his spot.
So the card now that I'm aware of, so we got Warhorse and Tarek. Now we got Gabe Fuerza and Calvin Tang. The other match we haven't really touched on. We talked about one of the guys, Josh Alexander and Von Vertigo.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
That's
wow.
So that is actually like, you know,
I love that.
the way that actually went down is whenever we announce our shows, we Instagram post, who do you guys want to see? And then we let everyone start inboxing us, and we make little graphics with question marks over the people's eyes. It's just like a fun thing to see who people want to see. And this is not like a storyline thing. This is like absolutely legit how it went down. Vertigo posted on it, I want to see Josh versus Vertigo. Mm. And I sent that to Josh, and Josh said, let's go. That's legitimately how it happened. Like, that is not a story. If that was a storyline, that's the dumbest writing I've ever heard in my whole entire life.
It's really not, though. It's a good story, like, because it's one wrestler just saying, I want to wrestle that fucking dude.
Shoot your shot. That's the story for the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And like, we did the whole hand-picked video with Josh opening up his jacket, wearing the Vertigo shirt, you know, just to have a little bit of fun. And the fact that they both are excited to wrestle each other, and like Vertigo, man, like, what can we say about the kid? Like, he's not even a kid. Like, he's betting on himself harder than anybody in Ontario. He's doing everything he can to enhance himself. From what I understand, he does the Von Vertigo Invitational, and we said, hey, you did that on show one, the Von Vertigo Invitational, and Cody Lane and Del Bruno picked it up. We said, do you want to do it again on this show? And he said, no, I'd rather not. I think he's doing one somewhere else. And he's just like, I don't want to overdo it, so I'd rather not do it. But then we also found out that the very first Von Vertigo Invitational was answered by Josh Alexander. So it kind of is like a full circle thing. I'm pumped for that match. You know, after what Josh and Forza did at show two, like, they're just going to absolutely tear it up again. Like, What more can we say? It's gonna be insane.
Buy tickets.
Yeah, that's three matches we announced. Yeah,
that's three announced matches. And then like just seeing who else is like, you know, seeing who else is on that poster. It's like, okay, yeah.
What's to come?
Who else do we got announced? We got Cody Lane, Del Bruno, Joey Threat.
I didn't know Cody Lane was announced.
Yeah, there was a little. I think we did a hype video of his. Okay, we did a talent announcement of his.
Nice. Love.
Coffee. I'm dog shit at Twitter. So if you, I know you follow us on both, but you do a lot of our reposting on Twitter and whatnot. Fun fact for show one, I was so dog shit at Twitter. Von Vertigo actually ran our Twitter for the first show. he's like Jeff, you're dog shit at this. I'm like, I know. He's like, who posts match announcements at midnight? Like, Ricky Shane Page messaged me too. He's like, do you not understand how Twitter works? Like, who posts like a hype video at midnight? I'm like,
posted like Monday 8 p.m. when everyone's on that shit watching Raw.
What's Raw? What's that?
It's the thing on Mondays.
Yeah, yeah. That's what my buddy says. He's always you're tweeting at the wrong time.
Post when like wrestling's on TV and people are tweeting about it is like that. I think that's like the best time.
I've always been like, because I'm a photographer, I'm a visual guy, so it was always an Instagram thing. I never got on the Twitter train. I have one. Right. I very rarely use it. I don't even know if they're linked up.
Instagram, but obviously, weird too, because like
it's the drizzling shits. It's dog shit. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
You don't like it, you know?
You post something, four people will see it. The algorithm is just so, and it's ever changing. That like once you finally figure out the algorithm, they're like, no,
they're just constantly pulling the rug out from under you.
Yeah, like I read the newest thing is like you need like they'll push it to like 20 people, and within like the first 10 minutes, if those 20 people don't engage, they push it to nobody else. So like, if you see something of somebody that you like, you need to engage with it immediately, or else nobody else will see it. It's horrible, man. It's horrible. And who those 10 people are, it could be like my mom, who doesn't even like know how to use Instagram, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't even push it to like your 10 most frequently engaged people.
It literally just tosses it to like 10 people. And if they 10, 20 people, if they do not engage, they're like, nobody's going to care about this. So everybody in that Instagram world, if there's somebody you like, a wrestler, an artist, anything, if you see content come up, comment on it, like it. Like, when you see all those YouTubers say like, smash the like button, it helps out, click the notification bell, like that legitimately really really does help. That's not just like them saying it to say it. Like, I post stuff all the time. I've got like over 6,000 followers, which isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things, but when I'm only getting 20-30 likes on it, obviously there's an algorithm issue, not or my content sucks. That could be it too.
What a great time for me to remind you all, though, to please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked and like this video.
Click
that button. Like, smash it. Thumbs up, all that stuff. That's something I need to start factoring in, because I'm just like, here's content, and then doesn't perform. You have to put something on it that says that it's being watched.
Yeah. And then the second you write in it, like, tickets are $30.
Yeah.
Out the window, because they want you to now buy for paid promotion to boost that. Right. Right.
Exactly.
So the second you put that in there, they're literally just like, oh, we're not going to algorithm this at all.
Yeah. That's wild. You know,
that'll be the reason if we only draw like 50 people in this next show, I'm gonna be like, oh, the algorithm really screwed us on this one, guys.
The algorithm again.
Nobody wants to see Josh versus Vertigo. That's gotta be the answer.
Yeah, that's the algorithm.
Yeah, it's the algorithm.
Yeah, no, it is the algorithm. That match is gas.
It's gonna be nuts, man. It's gonna be nuts. And then, of course, we're gonna be doing a scramble as well. That's another one I can give away. It's an obvious one. We are really excited to be partnering up sponsorship with Rest When Dead. So they hit us up. They want the clothing company and the supplements and all that stuff. They wanted to sponsor us in some way. We do a scramble every time, and we've named it different things. There was a Death Wish scramble, so we were gonna kind of continue that, but we said, like, you know, we want to support other like content, especially within Canada. And it's going to be the Rest When Dead scramble is what we're going to be working with moving forward. The Rest When Dead scramble. We thought it was a pretty cool idea, pretty cool name. Gets their name out there, and we're going to be just throwing a bunch of talent in there and just let them jump off of. Did you guys see when Aiden jumped off the big beer vat?
No, man, show two's not out yet.
Well, I'll tell you, it was pretty cool. He definitely jumped off it. He was like, hey, guys, hopefully more than just the people that bought tickets will see this. No? Cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, he jumped off it. It was pretty sweet. Yeah.
It's okay. You bet your ass I'm going to be there with my GoPro.
Not
my proprietary GoPro, but the DJI version
of
the
GoPro. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But you bet I'll be there for the next one somewhere. Good, I don't know. I got to figure out where the good spot in the room is.
I mean, like, it's a pretty cool layout. There's like when hard cam facing out, there's like two or three rows. And then there's like a bunch of whiskey barrels. And then there's this like crow's nest where we have like our production set up. So like Scumbag Gates is up there doing all the music and everything. And it's a cool little like hiding area where if like you don't want to be seen, like some of the wrestlers' girlfriends or stuff will go climb up there and watch the show from up there. And then it's just like this wall of people from there. It's just like a wall. Like you got, I think we did like 10 rows. And then from there, it was just like a wall of people. So where are you going to set up? I don't know, man. Maybe in the middle of the ring.
Amazing venue, though. All right. Well, you know, before we wrap up and get you out of here, obviously Northern Crown is on July 7th. But like, do you have anything else you want to promote, plug, anything to put over?
Honestly, just like follow everybody that's involved with it. That's important, right? Like, I mean, follow Shane Saber, follow Loden, follow PWO, follow New Frontier, you know, you smashes, at all Ontario indie, Barry, Superkick, Demand, everybody, like, check them out, support our scene, because without that, we ain't got shit, am I right? Yeah.
Oh, the same scene, so you're pretty sure right.
Yeah. Yeah, like literally, like everyone's just gotta work together and then that's it. See the belt.
Hell yeah.
World champ.
Yeah. Typical promoter gives himself the title.
I'd give it to my daughter, but she can't really pick it up. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. See how my stupid logo in there. Hey, dumbest thing I did. Never. Ricky Shane Page will never let me hear the end of it. Put your stupid logo on your stupid belt.
Look, it had a whole different purpose when it was designed and shit. So you know what?
This one will never see the light of day, to be honest with you. This one's just going to be here. You know, I bring it to the show for promotion. I let the fans like hold it. I think ringside with Chops. Everyone knows Chops. He's one of Ontario's biggest fans. At the last show, I walked out and handed it to him, and he didn't let it go. And I was like, "Hey, do you want me to take that and go put it away?" He's like, "No, gotta hold on to it for the whole show." And there he was, the whole entire show. But when the time comes and we're ready for a championship to be defended at Northern Crown, we're gonna get something different made without my stupid logo on it.
All right, hey, heard it here first. But yeah, again, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming and talking to Northern Crown, because I've really enjoyed what I've seen and followed from you guys, and I can't wait to actually get out there myself on the 7th to see the show and experience everything. Just again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having. If there's anybody like on this that are watching and you want to give away like some tickets somehow, you can definitely give away 2 tickets. On behalf of us, figure it out however you want to do it. Just shoot us a message and DM us and figure out who the names are, and we'll definitely have some tickets aside for them. It'd be cool to have some of your fans out there. Yeah,
we'll definitely figure that out. It's a busy weekend, so I know there's
Chain Sabers right at the soccer. Stop giving away free tickets.
It's on record. We can't take it back now.
We can't take it back.
No rewinds. Yep.
Shit, make it 4. Make it 4 tickets. We're giving away 4 tickets. Fuck you, Saber.
Before you pack up, Reg, anything you want to plug? Where can people find you out this week?
Tonight I'll be on the Dynamite Post Show, RexRed.bandcamp.com, like they said. Grapsody. It's just a regular week. Peace to y'all. Y'all are dope.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't know. Give me a high five if you see me out in public somewhere. Peace and love. Thanks again. See you next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.